Christy's also here.
Christy here.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that one. Who was the last? Oh, hi, how are you?
Hello.
Good.
Hello, Hannigan's here.
Hannigan.
Riley.
How are you?
I'm terrific, thank you.
Fantastic.
Nixon is here, too.
Oh, Sarah Joe.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble with the WebEx. Is anyone else having trouble?
I'm up.
Seems okay.
Okay, I'll try again.
Hi, Masak Story is here.
Hello.
Tom Blanchard is here.
Welcome.
This is Jeff. I just got on.
This is Bill Barnett.
Hey, Bill. Hey, so Blair, Cristiano, Johan, Peter Hammond.
Yeah, I'm here.
Scott?
Did you say Scott? Yes.
Yeah.
Scott's here.
And Tina? Tom or Kathy? I don't know if they're going to join us or not. Dan?
Yeah, Tom's on.
Okay, good. Dan? Bill Dunty or Dale? Anyone I missed?
Johan's here.
Dale and Bill are here.
Okay. And Johan. All right, so we're pretty good. Jennifer, Claire, Cristiano.
Hello. Yep.
You're both there? All right.
Yep.
Boy, we got a lot of people here today. All right. Tina Chambers. Leah. Helen.
I'm here.
And Mike Suddy? Okay. Sometimes they stand it. All right. So this is really our first official conference call for CFAS 4. And I just want to review a few things and have some people go over some logistical issues that always come up. So why this won't change. There we go. All right, so this is what we had proposed in our reverse site visit and in the application. There would have been 4 cores, 4 continuing projects, 5 new projects, and then the 2 new UH2s. After the review and all of the discussions that went on, what basically happened is 2 of the cores, and I got that wrong. It's not the dysmorphology core. I'm sorry. It's the informatics core. Was moved into the Farood project, and the outreach dissemination core was not funded, although NIAAA and CFAS are working on obtaining separate fundings so that NOFAS can continue their work with CFAS. The dysmorphology core was approved and funded as it is, so that's just a mistake on my part trying to put this together this morning. All the other projects were funded, and I believe almost all at the requested budgets, minus the cuts that were imposed by NIH. So this is basically what we have right now. in terms of the steering committee, science advisory board, and the NIAAA staff. And then we also proposed these affiliate scientist positions. And we had three letters from Deepak, Elizabeth, and Kirsty Donald, who wanted to continue their relationship with CFAS. And we are going to figure out a way to include them, although they will not be members of the steering committee. But given their involvement in CFAS in the past and the fact that they can contribute to our future endeavors, we all thought that this affiliate scientist group was a good thing. All right, so where we are. CFAS 4 grants in direct costs totaled about $2.8 million, and our budget came in nearly at the $4 million cap, our overall budget. As I mentioned, all the budgets were cut across the board, across all years, by about 5, 10%, depending upon the amount of direct costs that were involved in your project. Now, as you all know, these award notices came in early July, and the budget period end dates for all projects is May 31st, 2018. So, Bill or Dale, I'm going to ask them to comment on this in a little bit, so you all have a general idea of how long that those funds that were awarded this year have to last. I also want to mention about carryover, and most people know this, but carryover for all of the U-type grants is not automatic as it is with an RO grant. So it has to be formally requested and approved by NIH Grants Management as well as by Building 1 at NIH. So the federal financial reports are due to NIH 120 days, 4 months after the budget period end date. You can't submit a carry request until they receive that, the FFR, and they take time to review. So basically right at the end of that 4 month period when the financial reports go into NIAAA, that's when you should submit your request for a carryover, because these take a long time to get approved, and sometimes as much as 6 months or longer. So keep that in mind for the future.
So, Ed, can I make a couple comments?
Yeah, sure.
It's Bill here. If you could go back to the last slide, the previous slide. No, I'm sorry, the one that you were just on. Yep. So, I just want to make sure everyone understands the third bullet, as you explained. The awards went out with the full 12 months of funding, but the first year will comprise of only 11 months. So you've got the full budget, but 1 month less to do the work. And so year two will begin, as you have there, May 31st, 2018. So there were some questions in terms of if there were additional cuts, and that's not the case. It just took a while to get the notices out, so the first year will only consist of 11 months. In terms of the carryover, for those new to the carryover process, I would urge everyone to get their FFR, the Federal Financial Reports, in as soon as possible after each year. And once those have been approved, then we can entertain a carryover request. And we're hoping to have that process streamlined so it doesn't take 6 months, but there are circumstances where it may take anywhere from 2 to 4 months, and those circumstances are beyond our control. So if anyone would like to talk offline about that process, just shoot me an email.
I probably should at this time thank Bill, and everybody should thank Bill, because Bill did a tremendous job in justifying all of our budgets so that we came in basically with the almost the $4 million that was the cap. And I know that he put in a lot of effort to kind of keep all of these things up and running and afloat, and so that basically all the projects that were put in are going to be taken care of in one way or another. I think it was unfortunate that the informatics or the outreach core was not approved for funding. It was a very, I don't want to go into it, but it was a complicated issue. And I think everyone's aware of that at NIAAA, and they are trying to do what they can to make sure that the important work that NOFAS has done for us continues. All right. So the way these conference calls work for the new people is they're basically a chance to have each PI give a very brief update on their progress that they're making and to basically to address any problems that may need troubleshooting in terms of recruitment, experimental designs, whatever. There's a lot of expertise within CFAS, and the PIs and the people involved in CFAS are all willing to help to try to facilitate everyone's project. And so during the calls, if there are problems, you can feel free to bring them up. If you made a remarkable discovery you want to share, feel free to bring that up. And just to make sure everyone knows, at any time, you can reach out to the administrative core or the science advisory committee if you don't want to deal with me for guidance or help at any time. If you don't think that I'm doing something right, reach out to the Science Advisory Board or to NIAAA. If there are issues that you're having difficulty with that you think the admin core might be able to help with, please feel free to contact me about that. We basically collect internal progress reports and updates in November and December, and we do that prior to our face-to-face meeting so that we can distribute those so everybody can read prior to the meeting what everybody's been doing and what they've accomplished. I think we still have to work on dates for the face-to-face meeting, and then we have to have a teleconference meeting as well. And so we're going to try to do a doodle poll to find out when people prefer to have the face-to-face or the teleconference meeting, and what days we can work these out for. There, with a large number of people involved, it's not going to be an easy task, so we're going to start this early so that we can get dates put onto the calendar. So you should be expecting to hear from Jill about that in the near future. And, I guess the first one is when would we like the live meeting? Winter is very difficult because we typically have to meet in Washington, D.C., and we get snowed out, stormed out, or whatever. So we've kind of forsaken January and February for that meeting. And then in addition to the progress reports that are due to us in November and December, then your NIH research performance progress reports, they have to go in by April 1st. Jill noticed that the Notice of Grant Award says the 15th, but the Commons list the 1st as the day they're due, so that needs to be rectified and checked out to find out when it is. Recap, I was not at the RSA-FASD study group because I was at the wedding, but once again, I think CFAS was very well represented at the RSA meeting. CFAS projects had three of the FASD Fast Track presentations. The president was an FASD member, or CFAS member, and Dr. John Hannigan should be commended. He was the recipient of the 2017 Henry Rosette Award. And so, congratulations, John, once again.
Thank you all once again.
Okay. We had 15 poster presentations. We had two symposium presentations. And then Johan Group had the one in the Young Scientist Roundtable presentation. I think it was Ben Lovely who gave that. And Claire Coles and I believe our Judy Cable did the symposium presentation. And the other one was Johan Eberhardt's group. We also were represented at the Teratology meeting with two student postdoc platform sessions and two additional posters. And I think when I was at the editorial board meeting for ACER, CFAS had two of the top 10 cited articles last year. So I think that that says something about the work we're doing and the impact that it's happening. And that was papers by Claire Coles and Johan Eberhardt and Scott Parnell. So congratulations to them. Also point out that CFAS has one of the top 20 cited papers overall in ACER, although it was published, I guess, prior to CFAS, but that's Sarah Matson and my review, which is still being cited after all these years. So I think we're out there and getting some good visibility. These are the fast-track talks. You can see the one from Emory, North Carolina, and the University of Cape Town with Kirsty Donald. Symposium presentations, Julie Cable and Johan Eberhardt. Whoop, and that's about it. I would like to get some input on some things. I think we need a larger scientific advisory board than the three people that we have, because I think we ask a lot of them, and I would like to get a little little more shared responsibility. They did an absolute tremendous job in the renewal, in reading all these applications, and so I think we just need to get more people on it with various areas of expertise. So if you can send me any suggestions that you might have. You all know the various projects that are involved, where you think we might need expertise. That would be great. And then I can approach those people and we can get additional people on. And I don't think there's any real requirements to the SAB in terms of having to have so many people from so many places or whatever. So any suggestions you have would be appreciated. They don't really need to be in the FAS field. They can represent other areas and go from there. I also want to stress that if you are using CFAS funds in a publication, it would be really great to mention CFAS. We've had a few cases at RSA this year where CFAS was not mentioned in a presentation or a poster that was funded by CFAS. So please remember that this is very important when we come up for renewal, when we have to list all the papers and publications and abstracts. It's nice to be able to show them that it was CFAS related. So it should be in the acknowledgement section for funding, if not in the author list. And that's about all I have to say. I am going to have to leave early today, and about 15 minutes before 11, and I will be on listening in on my cell phone, but so either Michael or Jennifer can handle the end. We are going to have a special presentation today. I don't know how many of you are aware of Sylvia Rusin. Let's see, I'll stop sharing my screen. But Sylvia is visiting San Diego at UCSD and here. She's visiting from Maastricht University, and she's the coordinator there of a multidisciplinary FASD group that encompasses a large number of departments. Most of you, or hopefully all of you, are familiar with her paper on the worldwide prevalence of FASD, systematic literature review, including a meta-analysis. It was the top-cited article last year in Acer. So it's good to have her here, and hopefully she's just going to give a very short presentation. I figured we might as well take advantage of her expertise while she's here. She's very much interested in prevention of FAS. Okay, now I was going to ask for Bill or Dale if they had anything to add about the logistical part of CFAS and the budgets or anything like that, or did we cover that sufficiently?
I think it's sufficiently covered on our end, unless there are any questions. I will say, Ed, that NIAAA supports adding some members to the SAB. I think the current members have done a great job, and it would be nice to lighten their workload and also to maybe expand the expertise of the board, especially in the area of e-health and things like that. So we're just all very excited at the possibilities ahead, and looking forward to it.
So this is John. I'd just like to point out that the current members of the SAB had proposed expanding our ranks unanimously to Ed and Bill, and I'm glad that you're following up on that.
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, other consortium have, seven, eight members of the SAB. And, I think that we
and mostly they
import.
Don't work nearly this hard.
I know. And so I'm on the SAB. I'm on the SAB of several UOs, or U24s, and I don't work as hard as you guys work. And sometimes they even get paid a little more than you guys get paid. So,
double our salary. Cool.
So
we have to use the prevailing minimum rate.
Yeah.
Minimum wage, right. I mean,
minimum wage, that's it.
Right. So that's $250 from NIH. So a day doesn't even include all the time that you read. All right. So, but what I really need are suggestions for that SAB. It's hard to get people to agree, and it's hard to get them to continue to participate once they do agree. But send me some names. I would appreciate it. All right. So also in terms of the logistics, is there anything that a member of the SAB or Michael would like to contribute to that discussion that we kind of?
Well, this is John again. I have nothing unique except that if I understood Bill properly, is that you don't have to wait the 4 months to the deadline to get the financial reports in, and as soon as you do, the faster you can get those carryovers if you need them. Is that what what you meant?
That's correct.
That's correct.
It's what you have to do is you have to spend all of your money. So any encumbered funds that you encumbered before the end of the grant year have to be paid before that FSR can be put in. So the sooner you get them all paid and close out the account, then you can send in the FSR.
And the more you work with your grants manager, like whoever's doing your funding, to make sure that they know you have a request to get it in before 120 days, the better.
But while you're waiting for that, you can write the request for a carryover so that once it's in, then you can put in the request. Or spend all your money, either one. But don't carry over too much because you never know what they're going to do with that either. It's not automatic. Someone on this call took a little bit of a cut last year on that. All right, so Jennifer, do you want to talk about the items that you need for the new iteration of CFAS?
Right. So I know that Jill already put out the request, and we received a number of responses. If you go to the website, one of the things that we like to do is highlight what projects are in CFAST, and we describe them in lay language. So we've been collecting those. I haven't kept a tally. Jill may know, but if you haven't submitted a description of your current project and perhaps a slide, a PowerPoint slide or a picture that we can add to the website, again, that would be understandable for a lay audience, that would be great. And also, as for the new individuals, I think I can go ahead and send out the process of how we submit information. If you have a new finding or a new publication, we want to get those findings out to NIAAA as well as to NOFAS and be able to highlight them on the website. So we have a whole process for that, and I think it's probably best for me to just do that offline with the individuals who are new to the consortium. So I would encourage you that whenever you have news items, and I know we have some also from RSA, I also missed the FASDSG, so if anyone has some pictures from that, and especially a picture of John getting his award, I would appreciate that so that we can get that highlighted as well.
I noticed there's one on the FASD study group's website last night.
So those would be the things that I would just emphasize. And again, it's really an important mission of ours to make sure that we disseminate this information as well. So we want to be able to get that information out to everybody as soon as we can. So that really relies on all of the PIs of providing that information to me so that I can make sure that that gets out to the proper people.
And while we're talking about disseminating, we here at NIAAA are always looking for a good story, particularly in the FASD area, that we can turn in to
a press release.
A press release when an exciting paper comes along, and we can help get the word out on these findings coming out of the consortium.
Yeah, and if it doesn't rise to a press release, we also highlight papers on our website and in the director's report. So I would request of maybe in a future call, if Jill could go through maybe the publication policy, and if it needs to get tweaked beforehand, we can do that. Oh. Thanks, Jill.
That was fast.
So that everyone can be aware of manuscripts coming down the pipe, and NIAAA can be aware of them for publicizing them here at the Institute.
Okay, this is Jill. I'm gonna take over for a little bit just with a couple housekeeping things, such as the publication process. So I wanted to point out to everyone again, I hope you can all see the diagram, just showing that we have several steps to publications in the consortium to try and increase involvement and collaboration on publications. So we ask everyone to start out with a concept proposal idea, and there are forms online to submit all of these things, and you can find links for these forms in this nice diagram. And we, once a publication has a concept proposal, people can comment on it, decide to become involved with it, offer guidance, assistance, collaboration, whatnot. And then once it's submitted to a publication, there's a form to fill out. And then once it's accepted for publication, there's a form to fill out. And then that acceptance information is disseminated to NOFAS, Dr. Thomas for the website, and to NIAAA so they can do with it what they do to magically get it out in press releases. So that is about that. And all of that information is found in the secure area of the website. So if you do not know the information to get into the secure area of the website, it is on the website itself. There's a button in the right-hand corner that says for consortium PIs and advisors, and it asks you for a password. The password is consortium and 2017. And if you have questions about that, you can contact me. So So that's my little information about the publication policy. I also just wanted to remind everyone that we have two working committees within the consortium, the Publications Policy Committee and the Data Access Committee. The memberships, as they were in 2014 and 2016, are listed here, but I thought maybe we could see if those members are interested in continuing and if anyone else is interested in becoming part of those committees and get some smaller conference calls for them to touch base with each other and maybe to address like what Dr. Riley was talking about with making sure abstracts have CFASD visibility, something like that would be great. So those are those committee lists. The other thing I wanted to say is that these conference calls are held on the fourth Wednesday of the month. November and December have holidays during that week, so I tweaked those around a little bit. So please make sure you note that when you're going to add all of these conference calls to your calendar, and they're all listed in your email. The other thing is that in these conference calls, we ask that people start presenting their project to the group. So there's a doodle poll asking you to please indicate your availability for when you're available, not when you prefer, but when you're available to present to the group. So if you can please complete that doodle poll as soon as possible, that would be great in helping me set that up. The last two things I wanted to mention are kind of a new thing, at least it was new to me, and maybe NIAAA can tell me if it's, it looks like it's new. It's January 2017. Typically, when you submit a renewal and your progress report was included in that renewal, that counted for your progress report for that year. That policy has been changed. Any projects that were existing as of May 31st, 2017 are going to need to submit either a final progress report or an interim progress report. As part of that progress report, it's the RPPR, the Online ERA Common System, there is a piece of it that it looks like they're going to tie into NIH Reporter, similar to listing the abstract for the public. They're going to list a public outcome statement to the public. So information about that, I'll send out this PDF so that you have it, but basically you need to make sure it's written for the public. You need to have bullet points. There are some examples on the website, but that is a new thing. Am I correct in saying that, NIAAA?
Yeah, it turns out, Jill, we were just having some training on this policy at NIH just this morning.
All right, so I'm in sync. All right, I'm getting everyone on page. And they're due 121 days after, so they're due end of September, but I just wanted to kind of get everyone thinking about it. And I'll send out another information, and your grants person has probably also notified you. But the notice is here. The notice number is in your email, and a link to some examples is also in your email. So that is all I had to say about that. And then I just wanted to mention that Sylvia Rusin has joined.
Bill,
yeah.
It's Sarah.
Yeah.
Bill, can we just confirm that this applies? Jill said that grants in existence on May 31st, 2017, that was the last day of our grant. Does that mean this applies to us? Just confirming.
Yeah.
Yes, it applies to those that are continuing through continuations and to those that aren't continuing. They have to do a final one, but everyone has to do this new outcomes piece regardless. You can see in this chart I just threw up.
All right, any other questions? And for those who are new, everyone gets emails from Jill. She knows a tremendous amount about NIH and what's required, what isn't required, how many words things can be. I mean, it's ridiculous how much she knows about this stuff. So she even caught a mistake on our indirect cost on the award notice and had that taken care of. If you have any questions about things, Jill is the person to contact about those details that I pay no attention to because I have Jill. So I want to thank her for her continued work on CFAS and keeping it all together and going. All right, are there any questions from anybody about how CFAS runs or the whole thing, whatever you have? If not, does anyone have any great new ideas, any great new findings? anyone having any problems with their projects. Wow, and we are just making tremendous progress. I am just pleased as could be. All right. I am going to leave and get on my cell phone. Jen or Michael, could you do this? Michael, you're still there?
I am still here.
If there are any issues or questions, could you deal with them? And because I won't be able to see what's going on the screen, and I have to run off to a doctor's appointment. The
all
only
right.
time I could get. All righty. So thank you all, and I'll talk to you next month. Any questions, just give me a call or send me an email, all right? Take care. Bye now.
So, Dr. Rosen, are you ready to present?
Yes, I am.
All right. We're looking forward to it. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. So my name is Sylvia Rosen. I'm from Maastricht University Medical Center, Governor Kramer Center in the Netherlands. And I must say, I'm very honored to speak for the CFSD, and it's very strange not seeing you at the same time. But okay, I just go ahead. So I would just want to share a little bit, just in 5 minutes, a little bit of our work. And our work is aimed at health promotion related to fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. So I will just show you a bit of the road towards prevention from our perspective, from our research group. So here you see a little bit of the individuals diagnosed in the Netherlands with FASD, but also healthcare professionals and adoptive foster parents. And it's the same questions we all wondered, I guess, if it's really a worldwide problem, what's causing it, are there any effective interventions? It's just the questions that come up when thinking of FASD. So even in the problem analysis around FASD, it brings you to a numerous amount of areas, which is also covered in the CFASD I saw. And for itself, this requires a multidisciplinary approach. And for my organization, I'm coordinating a multidisciplinary team working on FASD. So if you think of FASD, you can actually think of multiple ways for prevention. You can actually change numerous amount of things, but what is really important is, I think, primary prevention, because we can change the behavior. However, to really make a program effective, we tend to not go into a straight line. We actually lack a framework in doing so. So what we work with in our team is an intervention mapping approach. It consists of 6 steps. I'm just going through it very quickly. It's just a framework, and I believe there are multiple more frameworks that one could use. And the one thing is always, like, what is the health problem you want to tackle, and who are all your stakeholders involved, and what do you want to change among whom, etc. So then you define program objectives, and this is just to show you that you do it systematically and make sure you do it on theory basis. Yeah. And evidence-based. And here you can just see the book that we are using, and we published about this last year if you're interested. But I'm sure there are many protocols one can use. So these are the publications I have been working on for the past 3 years. And I don't think it's not unimportantly to mention that we were commissioned by our Minister of Health to write a report which you see on the upper left. It's a knowledge synthesis. I will tell you just shortly what that entails, because I think it's important. So a knowledge synthesis just encompasses all knowledge around FASD, which we incorporated in a systematic way with scoping reviews, and we use for this many focus groups. And so we went into literature and had many stakeholder meetings on local level, national level, and international level, which you also, you are part of one of the sites, of course. And what you do is to work together in the current knowledge and lacking knowledge around all these topics around FASD to think of prevention the way forward. And what is important to for us in this report is really to think in the socio-ecological way of all stakeholders involved on individual level, interpersonal level, organizational level, community, and even society. We even got members of politicians on board in our stakeholders' meetings, because they also have an agenda, right? And we need to get money from them in the end. So So just to show you the state of the art of our report, these topics were actually mentioned in the report on three levels, so primary prevention, secondary, and tertiary. And what we really did is to show the current knowledge of on all these topics for FASD, but moreover the lacking knowledge, what we don't know, and recommendations for the future. And not unimportantly, because the Minister of Health, of course, has an agenda to attend, and they want to have things done very fast. So what are now the most important aspects, and how changeable are they? So we made some conclusions in this report, and the one main conclusion is we need to address a dual-track policy. And the first thing is to get some consensus on action, and the second one is research for further improvement. So this is just to show you that this is what we did recently for the Netherlands. We were asked to do this in European level, and really to see what we know, and especially where we need to focus upon. And for us, prevention is key, because that's the true change for FASD. And we will use intervention mapping as our framework to do this. So, and of course, always in collaboration, and you know the people who are standing on there. These are just some pictures to show you. And and this is my team, so I want to thank you. And if you have any questions, please do let me know.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Dr. Rusin? If not, I have a question, which is, what do you expect the outcome of your synthesis to be? I know that this was requested by a government ministry. What do you think they're going to do with this?
So we, they will provide money and funds available for us to continue our work. So separate from this knowledge synthesis, we just continue publishing, and we're working on an international framework to be used for intervention purposes for prevention. So it's just funds mainly.
Yes. Thank you. And any other questions for Dr. Rusin? All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any concluding thoughts or comments? Jill, are there any other items that we need to discuss?
I think I went through a kind of a laundry list. I guess one other thing I should mention for new investigators is, in order to get into the publications documents, I need to know what Google or what email you associate with a Google account, because you have to have access to a Google account. That doesn't mean you need to have Gmail. I'll send out an instruction sheet about it to the new people.
Thank you. All right. Well, it's exciting to be starting off on another 5 years of CFAST 4, actually 4 years and 11 months, but we'll make it feel like 5 years. And thank you all for your attendance, and we look forward to the next teleconference. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.